What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
All right.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. And Tide fans, have we got a treat for you. We have Isaac with Aggie Up Podcast representing Utah State on with us tonight. And he tells us everything that we need to know to prepare ourselves for Saturday's contest. Utah State's not a team that necessarily we see a lot or know a lot about. I'm sure many of you watch them on week zero. I found that to be just an incredibly entertaining game. And there's a lot of things that I walked away from that game really excited for Utah State and excited about Alabama and the opportunity we'll have to line up against them and see what we can do against this opponent. We talk a lot about that in the interview. And so buckle up, get your popcorn ready. And here is Isaac with Utah State. Welcome back, Tide fans. And have we got a treat for you? We've got Isaac with Aggie Up. Isaac, how you doing this evening?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on. Taking a minute.
Man, I want to say something, you know, about the exciting start of the football season and all that, but you did that last week, right? You're a week ahead of everybody.
Yeah, it was kind of fun to play week zero and get football started a week earlier. You know, I think Aggie fans are used to kind of that first big game over Labor Day weekend. You know, every year it's kind of the same, but starting a week earlier was cool. And, you know, getting a win was great. Maybe, hopefully, I guess, knocking off some of that rust of first game jitters. So,
you know, all the sort of the coaching speak and mantras, you know, one of the ones that I've always heard, you've heard it too, and I'm sure it's been on newspapers all over Logan. You know, teams make their most improvement between weeks one and two. And you guys had a good outing. There are things on tape that need to be addressed, right? And so there's a lot of opportunity to address that, improve, and a lot of confidence that the Aggies will have coming into the game this weekend. So that's super exciting. Talking about sort of coach speak and, you know, the vision that the team has. Talk to us about head coach Blake Anderson. I think he's in his second year. Is that right? And he's done quite a turnaround job. Last year, his first year, winning Utah State's first ever Mountain West championship, which is phenomenal. And then during the COVID year, shortened season, but only a one-win season for the Aggies. And last year he really piled up a whole slew of wins, 11-3 last year, a really good season and a lot of foundation to build from. Talk about Blake and sort of the energy he's brought to the program.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal. I mean, it goes without saying that Utah State has never won a Mountain West championship until last year. So that in itself, as much as people like to look back at Gary Anderson and Matt Wells, and they both left for bigger jobs and different things like that. And really, Gary Anderson didn't even coach in the Mountain West his first time with Utah State. But regardless, you know, that was a huge accomplishment to go to San Diego State, to go to California and beat San Diego State, which was ranked at the time. Big game to win in the Mountain West championship game. And really, they did it in an interesting way. And you know, it wasn't that different from, you know, the game on Saturday. It just seems like this team and this coaching staff knows how to win, and they really were able to turn things around quick and, you know, create that, I guess, that foundation or that mentality of you know, winning team and a program, even though they took so many transfers from other schools and kind of mishmashed the guys coming back. You know, they were able to put that all together. And then this year is no different. There's a couple guys that are coming in as really 1 year transfers, but there's also a lot of guys that are going to be here multiple years that transferred, either, you know, guys from Utah or guys from, you know, programs like Texas and Alabama that will be here for multiple years. And so I think everybody's excited for the future as well, because really, it's not just a flash in the pan kind of 1 year wonder in our opinions. But Blake Anderson has shown that he's a great coach and can create that winning mentality that can win for years.
Yeah, I agree with you. You said something there that, you know, the team knows how to win. And you'll hear a lot of coaches say winning's hard. And you go and you play and it's easy to get down and stay down. And the announcers made a big point. And again, like you said, it played out Saturday. They were down. And the announcers kept saying, don't count them out, because they half the games last year, they came back from, you know, double digits or whatever. And there's a personality that's hard to build into a team, especially overnight, you know, in one season. And so that's really impressive. And you've talked about, and there's a couple of guys that I was noticing that had transferred in from other programs. And, you know, and I credit, you know, Coach Anderson a lot with this. It's one thing to go try to get a bunch of guys. It's another thing to actually get them and then get the right guys, that you're shopping for the right guys they're going to bring and build your culture, not just a name that might help you win a game, but that they're going to help you build a culture. And so my segue there, and you probably can guess where I'm going, transfer from Arkansas State, super senior quarterback Logan Bonner. Talk to us about Bonner.
Yeah, Logan Bonner is just a Texas kid that's it's a baller. Like, I think out of the womb, he was probably throwing a football, and it's just so smart and savvy and tough. Like, he's just that cowboy out there, not the biggest guy, not the, you know, biggest arm or whatever you want to say, you know. But I think, you know, really what he brings to the table is that winning mentality, that leadership, that experience, really. Even though at Arkansas State, he had some injury troubles, he was actually co-starter and they kind of rotated guys in. Even last year, the first game of the season, they were rotating in and out. He didn't play the whole game. So he's seen a lot in his 7 years. It sounds insane to say it. It's his 7 years of college football, but he, because of injuries and COVID, he's a seventh year senior.
Wow. Well, he had three touchdowns, almost 300 yards Saturday. And, you know, after a couple of maybe early throws, shaking the rust off, he seemed to really know where to put the ball and was not afraid to pull the trigger. There were guys not open when he threw the ball, but he had the confidence in his fellas that they were gonna be in a spot, and nearly just about every time they were. He definitely is one to watch, and is a guy, you know, even as an Alabama fan and opponent Saturday, he's a guy that I have a lot of respect for watching him play. I think I watched him in the bowl game last year, and it's like, this guy he's just born to play. And I don't know what sort of opportunity he will or won't get, but dude's going to stay in football. He's going to be a coach somewhere, I guess is where I would predict. I think he has a future ahead of him, certainly in the game. You know, playing from Bonner, I noticed, and you can help me sort of round this out, but a trio of wide receivers really played well on Saturday. Brian Cobbs, you know, I think probably the number one. He had the most receptions. Kyle Van Leeuwen, a little undersized. You might not see him come off the bus and expect much, but always getting open. A tough guy. And then almost the other end of the spectrum, you know, 6'6". Huge catch radius, Justin McGriff. Boy, he looks like a player. Help us understand those guys maybe a little bit more. And who do we leave off the list?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Justin McGriff. He's a guy that came from a JUCO, and really, I think he was just learning the position. You know, he wasn't highly recruited out of high school or anything. Went the JUCO route, did pretty well there, but came to Utah State as a relative unknown, and really has gotten coached up and has had a decent, you know, last year had a good chance to get some experience. He wasn't counted on to be the guy necessarily, and really started out a little bit slow. But yeah, when you throw in a guy out of the transfer portal like Brian Cobbs, who's going to catch a ton of balls this year, I mean, he's going to be the go-to guy, just a guy that's not undersized, a guy that's tough, can get yards after the catch and really go up and catch those contested balls as well, even though, you know, at 6'2" may not sound as great as 6'6", but he's going to be a really, really, you know, go-to guy. What's interesting for Alabama fans, if you remember Xavier Williams, he transferred from Alabama, is back up on the depth chart. He got some time, I think, on Saturday, but really not much, because Justin McGriff is a staple on the outside. Cobbs is a staple on the outside. And then sometimes they have at least one, sometimes two slot receivers in the game, with Kyle Van Leeuwen, who saw the most catches. But then they've got Davis and Vaughns and Williams, who are also guys that could rotate in as kind of that fourth or fifth receiver for that matter. But I mean, that'll tell you something. I mean, Xavier Williams, a guy that got a little bit of time at Alabama, highly recruited guy, isn't jumping those, you know, Cobbs or McGriff by any means to get that starting role or be that go-to guy. So,
no, that's true. And, you know, Williams is really, really fast. He's a speedy receiver. And that was sort of the asset that we hope at Alabama to cash in from him. But he moved on. And, you know, as the season progresses, I predict he'll have some opportunity there with you guys. I noticed that talked about the, you know, the scheme maybe a little bit, you know, a lot of four wide receivers. I don't know if that was the opponent or just the game plan, and really wide splits outside the numbers, almost out of bounds, just inside the field, creates a lot of width to defend. You know, talk about the approach there and that type of schematic.
Yeah, that's the MO. They're not going to change too much from that. You know, that they're not going to go, you know, put Bonner under center or anything like that very often at all. They're not going to run, you know, multiple tight ends, or they're never going to really have a fullback in the backfield other than, you know, maybe a goal line situation or something. They actually ran that when they were pinned back with a fullback few plays, but for the most part, yeah, they're gonna go as wide as possible. They're gonna spread the field out as much as possible. And what I like, even a guy like you know, the Aggies have had some good play callers in the past. Josh Heupel, Alabama fans are very familiar with. Yep. They've had a lot of good offensive coordinators, great assistants. But really, what I like about this system is not only is it wide, but it's also all three levels. You know, you're not just running bubble screens every play, and you're not just going deep every play. Mike Samford was an offensive coordinator here, and I felt like he was going deep on every passing route. And it's like, you gotta mix it up. Yeah. So I think this you know, there was definitely some clamors in the crowd for more passes, because it felt like UConn wasn't stopping Utah State as far as passing the ball. But they stuck with the run. They ran the ball pretty well, especially at times. They had a couple fumbles and a couple, you know, kind of missed assignments and different things. But for the most part, they ran the ball pretty well. And they're not going to go away from that, even though they are a really good passing team and have some weapons on the outside. They're going to try to be a balanced team. So that's what you can expect on Saturday. I don't think they're going to go away completely from the run. Even though they may be outmatched for the on the line of scrimmage at times against Alabama or somebody like that, they're not going to go away from it by any means.
No, I, you know, the wide splits, especially outside the numbers, reminds me a little bit of what Mississippi State does. And it's almost strange to the eye when you first see it. But you know, you get used to it. And one of the things that, and you mentioned the running game and even the tight end, one of the things that you guys do very differently than Mississippi State is because they'll just line up and pass the ball, you know, 50 times. We spoke with them last year. They didn't have a tight end on the roster. And so, that tells you, and they almost never run the ball. And you guys are very active, in the running game. Talk about and I want to talk about the individual players, but, do you think their strategy, and the TV folks kept talking about it, do you think their strategy in running the ball, against a team like Connecticut, to take advantage of the altitude, is that real or is that TV talk?
I mean, that's mostly TV talk, I think. I think, and you really saw that in a few games last year that, you know, the Aggies really stayed close on it with some teams, even some teams like UNLV that really were, you know, they weren't, I guess they weren't really by any means one of the better teams in the Mountain West last year. But the Aggies really wore them down at the end of the season last year, or at the end of the game last year, and were able to win that game in the end because they wore them down. And the Aggies go fast. They go, they're going to run plays. They're going to get to the line of scrimmage quick. They're not always going to just snap it and snap it. And, you know, you see some of these hurry up offenses that just repeat the same play over and over, right? You're not going to see that as much as you're going to see him hurry up to the line of scrimmage. Bonner, we've already mentioned, he's a coach on the field. If he has a run play called or a pass play called, that really doesn't mean anything. He's going to run the best play. He's going to hand the ball off if it makes sense. He's going to pull the ball and throw it, like on that touchdown pass in the first half to Van Leeuwen. That was a called run play, but Logan Bonner switched the play and decided, hey, I can hit Van Leeuwen in the end zone for a touchdown. I'm going to go for it. So that's the biggest thing. I think you're going to see that, I guess, wearing down teams a lot more in the Mountain West than against like an Alabama. I'm not expecting that to happen by any means, but sometimes it can work into the Aggies' favor, you know, with a home game. But at the same time, they're playing teams like Wyoming, Colorado State, Air Force. They're at higher altitudes than Logan, Utah. So against Hawaii, maybe, I don't know. You know, it's just
kind of – I'm with you. It just depends. No, I kept hearing that, and I was like, all right, I get it, but is it real?
Yeah.
And
it's definitely one of those exaggerations of – just like the exaggerations of like the Aggies have some return missionaries that are older and BYU has those guys, you know, that are a couple years older because they went on a mission. Things like that are always kind of an exaggeration because like sometimes it can be an advantage for an offensive lineman to go on a mission for 2 years and then come back, but also it can be a disadvantage, you know.
Sure.
There's always those kind of side stories that the TV guys love to hype up. But the elevation's probably didn't have that big of an effect on UConn or somebody. Right. So
no, that makes sense. That makes sense. You know, I'm hung up on the receivers. I was really impressed with the passing game. I probably would have been in the stands cheering for more passes because it was just an impressive passing game. I like the sort of the two-man combo routes and our young secondary, especially some new starters at the corner positions or corner position. I think they might learn the hard way on a couple of these plays. And so, it's going to be certainly fun to watch. And I think the Aggies are going to have some success there. I do want to talk about the running backs. It looked like, Calvin Tyler was the go-to guy, 2 years ago in from, transfer from, Oregon State, but he had, 33 carries, 161 yards and a touchdown. Talk about the leadership he brings to the position.
Yeah, he's got a lot of experience. He's played a lot. He played a lot at Oregon State, and obviously last year he got some great experience. He's a really patient runner. Same thing. Some people in the crowd obviously think they know better than him and say, you know, hit the hole faster and don't wait and don't try to juke guys or don't try to run over guys. But he's a physical runner and he likes contact. He likes to take his time and be patient, let the play develop and different things like that. So yeah, I mean, and he's getting the ball on, you know, from the shotgun, you know, snap and handoff that sometimes can be a little bit tricky to for the defense to kind of see, well, is it a handoff? Is it a run? What are they going to do? So that's, you know, he's definitely a guy that has tons of experience. And then really the number two guy on Saturday, Briggs, is a true freshman. So he has no experience and no, really, I mean, being fourth on the depth chart and kind of an afterthought, I don't think anyone expected him to come in and score a touchdown, catch some passes and run really well on Saturday. So that's going to be kind of a fun side story that, you know, a backup running back is going to be that Robert Briggs is a true freshman. So,
yeah, I thought he's a little smaller, but he played physical. He played like a bigger back.
And, yeah, he's a ball. He just bounces off guys and hides behind this offensive line. Yep. He had a couple of really good runs.
Yeah, very elusive, 85 yards, on 10 carries. And then Tyler, for my money, very quick feet, change of direction. He bounced it out a couple times, and I said, "Wow, that's gonna eat anybody up, suck in the defenders." And he bounced it. And if you're not setting the edge and persisting, if he gets the outside, he can really do some damage. I think there was talk of an injured running back. Am I getting that right? Talk about that player, and might he be back Saturday?
Well, John Gentry's not, I mean, he's a little bit bigger guy. He's more like a 5'10 instead of 5'6. So he's not quite the bowling ball. Jordan Wilmore is a transfer from, he transferred from Utah and then he transferred to Fresno State. And now he transferred to Utah State. He's transferred a few times. So, those two guys were kind of the experienced guys that they, we're expecting to share the load with Calvin Tyler. And you saw it on Saturday, Calvin Tyler got a little tired. You know, you need a second guy to come in there and do some things. But I mean, I think I think Robert Briggs showed that he can be that backup running back. So I'm not expecting that to change unless even if Wilmore and Gentry are healthy. So I guess we'll see.
No, he looks good. Definitely a breath of fresh air on Saturday. Talk about the offensive line, mostly upperclassmen. Who are some of the leaders up front?
Yeah, I mean, former walk-on named Chandler Dolphin is the center. He's a guy that I think everybody just kept counting out and expected him never to really – take over as the starter or anything like that. But he did really well last year. They kind of got a two guys that are basically starters because of how they both played at guard a little bit. The backup, his last name's Alo, A-L-O. And he started some games at center last year, and Dolphin started a few of the games. Alo got injured. That's why Dolphin stepped in and did pretty well. But the guy you really, I mean, the guy, the best kind of NFL prospect and best player on that offensive line is Alfred Edwards, number 72. He's a guy that's been starting since his freshman year. Just a mountain of a guy. I mean, 6'7", 325 at least. So he's really got that experience, shown that he's the leader of that group as far as, if not verbally, for sure in his play. He's been pretty solid. And even with all the changes last year and throughout the years, he's been a constant.
And he's at that left tackle spot. Is that right?
Left tackle, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. Very good. Hey, let's flip the field and, looking at the roster and looking at the positions, help me with – Help me maybe a little bit, our Alabama fans, with the scheme. A couple of things stand out. I see, help me with the names, Kaleo Neves at striker and Hunter Williams at rover. I think that might mean some sort of strong safety outside linebacker at striker and maybe a slot corner or nickel at rover. Both are about, you know, one's 95, one's 200. So they're sized similarly in terms of weight. Talk about the scheme and maybe the versatility that the rover and striker provide.
Yeah, I think it's a kind of an interesting defense, a kind of a unique scheme, I would say, because I think Utah State fans were originally really used to just kind of the traditional 3-4 defense. But I think Utah State's both personnel and kind of style of defense with.
Talk about the scheme and maybe the versatility that the rover and striker provide.
Yeah, I think it's a kind of an interesting defense, a kind of a unique scheme, I would say, because I think Utah State fans were originally really used to just kind of the traditional 3-4 defense. But I think Utah State's both personnel and kind of style of defense with Coach Banda, I think has changed to really Nevis, Reynolds, and Hall. Really, you've got at least three guys that are kind of safety type players. And instead of kind of going to a third corner or a nickel or a dime, you know, sometimes they're kind of going to mix and match some of those players, some of those guys that can run and make plays. You saw Reynolds had an interception, and Ike Larson, who's actually the backup safety, had an interception as well. Cornerback to watch, number 12, Johnny Carter. He's a guy that day he stepped on the practice field, he was just a contributor on special teams, a guy with super high energy. He's actually played that safety position and wide receiver, actually started as a wide receiver. But when they saw him so much on special teams making tackles, they decided to switch him to outside linebacker, which is really not an outside linebacker. Like I say, the size of a 195, 200 pound outside linebacker, it's really a safety. But anyway, he's the starter at one of the corners and has a little bit more size than the other side. The other side's going to rotate between a guy that's about 5'9", 5'8", in number 22 or number 21. Those guys are really experienced, but they're just a little bit smaller. I mean, they just don't have the size that a Johnny Carter has, 6 foot plus. And then Johnny Carter was the guy that, if you remember the fumble strip from behind that a Johnny Carter got, he was the guy that did that. So Johnny Carter is really a playmaker, but I think the other side, I get, especially against a team like Alabama, would be the concern if I were kind of looking at one weakness, I guess.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned a range of players, a range of positions, and the impression that I got watching the game is like watching a basketball team that plays a lot of forwards. It's a lot of versatile players, a lot of length. They can play outside. There's a range of talent, but a lot of overlapping talent. And so and that's sort of the mental image that I got. A lot of guys that can move around, line up, play a lot of different positions. They all kind of, structurally are built similar, but they're all effective. A lot of physicality. It seems to be a trademark of the Aggs. Talk about.
Yeah, and you saw that a lot on the defensive line too, like third and long. They were taking out all the defensive tackles and kind of stereotypical DNs even. And they were playing all outside linebacker, rush, pass rusher kind of guys. And even in the middle of the defense, they were playing 3 or 4 pass rushers, let alone the kind of nickel dime package. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely something you're going to see. They're going to take out those 300, 280, 290, 300 pounders at times on the defensive line and just play with guys that are quicker.
Yeah. It was very impressive. And again, physical, active to the football, you know, wherever Connecticut, you know, went with the ball, there was a host of Aggies, you know, tracking them down. Got out of sorts on the run fits a couple of times. That's film. I think that's one of those things that week one to week two sort of gets cleaned up. And I really like the middle linebacker, just listing players. But that MJ, is it Tafisi? 10 tackles, a lot of shared tackles, but he was active around the ball. Just another of those names, another of those players that Alabama fans should be thinking about, because I thought the defense was aggressive, very active, great pursuit to the football. And that really speaks to not only the players, but the coaching and the scheme. I think there's a lot of good to see there.
Yeah, you saw MJ Tafisi fill that hole a few times and just meet the running back and knock him on his butt backwards, you know, which was not a bad running back by any means. But yeah, MJ Tafisi, he's been doing that since he was in high school here in the state of Utah. He's a solid kid that can definitely do that. That's what he does. You know, he's a run-stopping guy at linebacker. AJ Vongpachon is a little bit more of the, you know, outside linebacker rover kind of mold, where, you know, he's going to run around and he's going to be sideline to sideline. He's sometimes even going to guard a tight end and different things like that. Those are kind of the two inside backers to watch for. And I think for Aggie fans, I think they're hoping that the MJ Tafisi sees that running back in the hole more often than Alabama can kind of get to that second level and block him. Because if they can get a tight end or offensive lineman on Tafisi, then it's going to be a nice gain on the ground. So.
Talk about, you know, we talked about the success that Utah State has had and a lot of excitement coming into this game, coming off of last week. What's the mindset of the team, or do you think the fan base? You know, we've built, we're building, we love what we've got. We know who we are. We're winning this conference. We want to win it again. We came out of the gates against Connecticut, and now we've got Alabama in front of us, which, you know, might be a horse of a different color. What sort of, what's the mindset, do you think, of the team and fan base?
I mean, the mindset of the team is definitely it's just another game. I think this team, for the most part, you know, we've talked about some of the guys, I think they love to play football, like, and they're trying to get the most out of their career and their opportunities. You know, I think a lot of them are hungry, you know, going into their last season and different things like that. So I think the team, which is a good combination. So Utah State for years has played a game like this, kind of a money game, if you want to call it that. You know, they played Tennessee, they played, you know, they played Auburn, they played, you know, teams like Texas A&M and Washington and USC. They played all over the place kind of as a money game or to start out the season. Even LSU a couple of years ago, that was kind of fell in the middle of the season, weird enough. I like the mentality of this team a lot more than that, or sometimes we saw in years past, because in years past, they kind of just gave it an effort, you know, and they wanted to make it close and they wanted to put their best foot forward. But at the end of the day, it wasn't necessarily like they weren't necessarily going all out to pulling out all the stops to it just didn't seem like they were really, really 100% invested in that game. They were thinking more about like, hey, it's a long season. This is the first game. We're not going to show all our cards, or we're not going to get guys injured or whatever the case may be. Right. So I like the mentality of this coaching staff, this team, that they're going to put everything into it. But at the same time, it's a football game. Like at the end of the day, you're just going to, you know, strap it on and play as hard as you can. So.
Fantastic. Are you making the trip?
I'm not. I really wish I was. I had a last second, not last second, but like a family reunion, family commitment come up. So unfortunately, I'm really disappointed that I can't make it. I'm going to have to, either come to a different Alabama game or something to check that off the bucket list. Because what I went to the LSU game a few years ago, and it was definitely one of the top experiences that I've seen in college football. So
that's awesome. That's a unique place down there in Baton Rouge, and the tailgating and all. We're really proud of what we do in Tuscaloosa, but they do something a little different, and we appreciate that.
Yeah.
So let me get you out of here on an easy one, a fun one. Isaac, who's your favorite Aggie?
Favorite Aggie? Oh my gosh. On the current team, definitely. You know, Logan Bonner's an easy choice, but also Johnny Carter, that number 12 that plays cornerback. He's just so fun to watch. So I think I would go with a Johnny Carter or maybe even Brian Cobbs. He's a new guy, so it's hard to choose. But those are three guys that are definitely my favorite guys right now to watch. And I think all three of those guys, I think, can give Alabama a run for their money, maybe at times, and make it a fun game to watch on Saturday. So
there you have it, Tide fans. Isaac just said the Aggs are going to give Alabama a run for their money. See, I'm tripping over my own joke. So fantastic. Isaac, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a fun conversation. Congratulations on the win last weekend. And we really respect what Blake is doing there, Coach Blake, and what the team is building. It's an exciting time to be an Aggie fan. And we're excited to have you guys come to Tuscaloosa this weekend.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for joining us.
Okay. See ya.
And welcome back, Alabama fans, from the interview. That was Isaac with Aggie Up Podcast, representing Utah State. Hopefully you enjoyed listening to that as much as we enjoyed talking with Isaac and learning a little bit more about Utah State. Sometimes I interview these teams, I watch these teams, I read a little bit about them, and I can't help but root for them. I can't help but like them and hope that they do well over the course of the season. And this Aggie team, there's another Aggie team that I maybe don't feel the same about, but this Aggie team is certainly one that I'll be rooting for after Saturday, and wish them well in their conference out in the Mountain West. Appreciate you listening. We love doing these interview shows. They're a lot of fun. We've sort of ramped them up over the last couple of years, and they've just been a lot of fun, and we hope that you enjoy them too. If you do enjoy them, definitely go to iTunes or your podcast carrier and leave us a review. Let us know how much you appreciate those. If you do appreciate those, may these interviews, maybe consider joining our support team, where you'll get this interview the night of the interview, as opposed to a couple days later. We're recording this on Monday. It probably won't hit the streets until Wednesday, but our support team will receive a sort of, we call it the raw version, Monday night. And so if you'd be interested in getting this type of content earlier in the week, that's certainly a way of doing that. This is a whole nother show. And so in terms of the expenses that we have, it's another instance of that. And so if you especially enjoy these shows, maybe think about joining our support team and hopping on some of the Zoom calls and helping us grow that part of the podcast universe, if you will. It's a great bunch of guys, and we have a super great time talking ball on Zoom calls. We have sort of a chat line, and a handful of us are getting together to go to Tuscaloosa for games. And so the window on that opportunity realistically is closing. But if you jump in and start participating with us, there's certainly an opportunity for you to catch this season and subsequent seasons when we'll do that. All right, not trying to hard sell. I'm just super excited about that. I'm trying to convey to you the excitement that I have. If there's any questions, don't hesitate to reach out. We're at Alabama Football Podcast on gmail.com, and we're on the Facebook and the Twitters as well. Well, this is it. This has been another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Holy cow, it's game week, and we're all so super excited about that. So roll Tide.
Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a roll tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the tide. Got that, coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.